All right. Good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning. It is April the 25th, 2023. Beautiful day here on the East Coast. Hope it is awesome wherever you are at. It is Tuesday. Back to work. Back to the grind. Great weekend. Great life. I always wonder what my life would be like if I had never gotten sober. And it would be not the life I'm living for sure today. That is for sure. I was headed down a path that it was either jail, institutions, or death, oh my, right? That's the little phrase that people like to say, because that's exactly where I was headed. You know, I was, I'd already gone to jail once. Many car crashes, many fights. Broken relationships, broken trust. I think people that had been around me had given up on me. And if they were still around me, then they were probably just like me, right? And, I think about it, today, just so full of gratitude and so blessed. And, I look and hear the stories of people around us and in the country who are struggling. Not everyone, right? Not everyone is struggling. I saw this clip yesterday, I guess it was on a show that I watch, like a news program, but they were talking about this couple. I don't know. They had called into, I forget his last name, Dave something, but he's a financial guy. And they had called in because they had almost a million dollars worth of debt. And I was like, holy shit. And these people were like, they had a decent education. A big portion of their debt, interestingly enough, was student loans, which I'm not going to get into, but that was a big portion of their debt. And then a house mortgage, and then, just spending too much damn money, on credit cards and loans. And they were $1 million in debt. And I was like, holy crap. And the fucked up part is I don't think they're like alcoholics, right? They're just normal people trying to get by in the world. And it sounds like they, I think do enjoy some of the finer things in life, right? I can't imagine having $129,000 worth of credit card debt. That to me seems like really unpleasant to live with. I know that I'm carrying about $2,000 worth of credit card debt from Christmas that I'm still chiseling away at, and we'll get it taken care of. But it weighs on me. It weighs. It's tough out there, right? It is tough out there. And, I am an alcoholic. I'm a retired drug addict alcoholic. And I'm just so grateful today because, this program teaches me so many things, right? It teaches me so many things. And a lot of it has nothing to do with drinking, right? It's all about being accountable. And, and I was thinking last night when I was watching this thing about these folks that had $1 million worth of debt, and I'm like, where is the accountability, right? Like, where is the point that says, okay, shit, I need to stop this, right? I am responsible for getting us to where we are getting. And I don't know the whole story. The topic was $1 million worth of debt. How'd they get there? And unfortunately, the guy that was talking about the story said, this is common across the country. There's a lot of people like this, trying to, stay up with the Joneses, right? To be part of a community. And like where I live, it is very easy to get caught up in the rigmaroles of the social existence here at the beach. I mean, you have quite a different set of groups, right? We got very high, wealthy folks that live here. And we also have folks like myself who aren't as wealthy, but prior to getting sober, I was very interested in what the wealthy were doing. I was very interested, and honestly, it didn't take too many levels to be wealthier than I was at the time, right? I was just bouncing along the bottom, barely hanging on, but always keeping my eye on what everybody else was doing, trying to do anything that I could to remind myself that I was better than the person that I was at the time, which was a daily drinker. Right. And so, it was easy to get caught up in stuff, to partake or participate, to feel like I was part of the group, one of them, right? but secretly not. And a lot of people do that through money, right? Money is a big one. I remember there was a story, and I'm going to try to keep this very anonymous, but there was a couple that lived here in this area that had done well for themselves, right? And then you had the couple that were just like normal people, right? Working 9 to 5, you know, 40 hours a week, just, you know, working it out, getting by, doing okay, I'm sure. But then they wanted to be part of something. And so they went in on a boat with the other couple, the rich couple, right? And because they wanted to hang out, right? I've been guilty of this many times. I want to hang out with people that have more or do more or at least look like they've done more in life. Not as much now, but early on, you know, I want to associate with the people better than me, I guess. At least that's how I thought it was in my mind. And so, you know, going out, partying, putting it all on credit cards. This couple, they went in on a boat with this other couple. The other couple, of course, just paid off their half right away. And then the other couple, you know, had to go on the payment plan and really, you know, started adding up more debt. And just to do what? To be part, right? Be part of this group, to be part of this crowd, right? And I guess it's fine. I mean, we all do our thing, right? I can't judge because honestly, I have been there. I have been there. Not at that level, though. Never buying a boat, but, you know, just want to be part of something. And it's tough, and especially when you come from where I came from, which was, you know, really down low, really down at the bottom. I mean, I existed, I worked, I went out, but the sadness was dark and deep inside me, and it was really a really tough time. And so just, you know, I woke up this morning feeling really grateful, went to the meeting last night. I shared last week that, you know, the meeting was going to start over with the steps. We had gotten to the 12-step and split it up in half and done it over two nights. And now we went back to the front, right? Back to the front of the book, back to the first step. And, you know, part of me was like, do I really want to go through these again? But going to the meeting last night and sitting down and realizing that, you know, and there was a guy last night who said, you know, every day I wake up, I'm just that new alcoholic, right? Immortality. Yeah. We do not have immortality, right? We are mortals. And the fact is that I am an alcoholic, and it starts over every single day, right? And that's what I think the guy's message was yesterday was, you know, my disease would like me to think that I have this thing beaten, right? I've got it. I've gotten it. I figured it out. You got this, man. And the reality is every day I wake up, I start over fresh. New shit comes at me, right? And I have to have my armor on and be ready because, you know, yesterday's past, right? Yesterday's history, and tomorrow is a mystery. And today, we'll see what goes on. But I have to be ready because it comes at me in all sorts of different forms, right? Good and bad, right? I've spent my whole life recognizing when it's bad, right? It's obvious, you know, crashing a car, getting arrested, whatever it is that happened, that's clearly bad. But as a person that's sober, what used to be bad doesn't really happen anymore, right? I haven't crashed a car, right? I haven't been arrested. I haven't had a DUI. I haven't got thrown out of a bar. I haven't had to get stitches. I haven't had a split up from my wife. I haven't, you know, lost communication with my father, right? I'm doing everything that I'm supposed to do today, or I'm just doing what normal people do, right? I'm not experiencing those spikes in drama and heartache because of what alcohol and drugs used to do for me, or I used to do on those things. But what does happen a lot today are good things, right? Great things. And, you know, I have to figure out how to manage those things as well because my disease is like, man, you are really killing it, right? You are doing so well. Maybe you don't need to go to a meeting every day or 3 days a week. You know, I went to the meeting last night, walked up, and the fellas, a bunch of fellas sitting outside chatting, and I was talking to somebody, and I said, yeah, 3 meetings a week, a Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And another guy said, wow, that's a lot. And I was like, I don't know, is it? I mean, am I here? Am I attending 3 meetings a week for the same reason that I did back in 1997 or 98? No. I have heard it all, right? I've seen it all. I've listened. I've read it. I mean, every time I read something in the big book or a 12 and 12, even though I've read it, there's always something new that I don't remember or didn't pick up on the first time. So, you know, but the fact is that I'm trying to be here for the next alcoholic, right? The next person. You know, I saw a guy last night. He's been in and out. He's been, you know, he was in the rooms for a while. He was the guy that got mad at me because I said how grateful I was that I was an alcoholic. He's like, how can you say that? And I'm like, well, I mean, I really am grateful. It allows me to learn all this stuff and be, you know, be present and, you know, take on this stuff. And so I saw him last night. He goes, I got 2 days. I go, wow. I go, how was it? He goes, fucking terrible. And I was like, well, yeah. I mean, what do you say to that, right? What do you say that I'm sure 20 people in his circle of friends has already said to him? And I said, well, you know, it's always out there. You can keep going. He goes, I don't think so. He said, my parents, I think, have had enough. You know, and right away, right, it reminds me of how I got into this program, right? I was sentenced. I mean, I wasn't, but, you know, I had this, you know, March 31st, 1997, I did not get up that day expecting to be addressing sobriety, right? I had thought about it, you know, me and my lower power, me and the devil and the higher power, me, the devil, and God had sat and had many drunken conversations about what my future was going to look like. And, you know, one side telling me it's not been that bad. The other side's telling me I could be so much better and just trying to. But it was a daily occurrence, but never really ready to push past the line of really making a 100% or at least a 50%, right? 60% commitment just to trying to get sober. Right? Because I've said this before, at least for me, right? There may be a special case, but I don't believe people wake up one day and say, wow, I've just drank too much and I'm ready to get sober. It just doesn't. I think our disease wants to paint that picture, right? I think there's, you know, if I'm sitting here going, yeah, man, I didn't need anything to get sober. I just woke up one day and I had a vision, right? And then I got sober. That's the disease spewing out propaganda, right? That's fake news. That is fucking fake news when people say that shit. Maybe it does happen. I doubt it, though, right? The only time where I have ever considered or thought about getting sober is when I was completely 100% humiliated. Ego, devastation, complete humiliation. At that point, when that beating is that severe, the devil leaves. The disease leaves. They even fucking feel bad for you. Right? That's exactly what happened when I got sober. It had happened a couple times, but I didn't have the foundation or the intent or the people around me to try to help me stay, right? You know, I'd had one of these episodes many years ago with my father, ended up in a rehab, right? Him and I rolling around literally on the ground fighting, not punching each other, but just rolling around, him trying to control me, me being a complete asshole, and ended up in a rehab down in San Diego, was there for 30 days. I was sentenced there, right? I had no intentions of getting sober. I just wanted to get the heat off me, but I was willing at the moment. The funny thing is that I started there in a 72-hour hold because I had taken a bunch of trazodone that was supposed to help me sleep. And, you know, I only took it just to hurt my father's feelings. I didn't take it because I wanted to die. I acted like that, right? I'm too self-centered to commit suicide. Or I'm too self-centered, you know, maybe I'm self-centered enough to do it. I have no idea, but I know that I've used to say, I've never killed myself because I don't want to miss all the wonderful things said about me, right? That's what a self-centered guy like me thinks, right? But, you know, that window opens up, and when I was in San Diego or when I went to the New Life or New Hope, whatever it was, same shit, right? Tommy, your behavior is out of control. This is what we're thinking you need to go do. And I was sentenced to a rehab. I really wasn't, but in my mind I was. So when... You know, in my mind, when that sort of something like that happens, immediately, you know, I've got the calendar up and I'm scratching off the days. You know, how many days left? You know, I got sentenced to a work camp in San Diego, Camp West Fork. And, you know, I didn't go there with the attitude of learning anything, right? I went there as a victim, right? I remember going to court and I was sentenced, right? You're going to go to a work camp. No, I was supposed to go to... What's the thing where you like go to jail, but you get to come out and work? I forget, work release. I was sentenced to work release, and I was like, sweet, right? I'm gonna do drugs. I'm gonna be cool. I'm gonna do drugs by day, come in at night. No one will ever know. Nah, you know they sentenced me to a working camp up in Big Bear Mountains. You would have thought I had been sentenced to death. I was crying, calling my father, calling my lawyer, having a complete fucking meltdown. I'm not supposed to go here. I'm supposed to be in work release, right? Because I've been sentenced, right? I did not come in there going, wow, what a great opportunity. Even though it's jail, right? Even though this is incarceration, what a great opportunity to really maybe get your fucking life under control. That's not how I thought it. I thought of it as a person, as a victim, right? I'm a victim of this. And you don't, my ears aren't open. My ears weren't open. My eyes weren't open. My heart was definitely not open. And so I came out of there. The whole time, I'm never using, I'm never doing that, got high the day I got out of jail, right? It's been that over and over and over. So that morning, March 31st, 1997, I had no expectations of getting sober that day. It was just going to be a typical day as usual, get up drunk, right? Wake up drunk. I woke up drunk every morning, you know, figure out how to get to work. You know, as a people pleaser and an alcoholic, and a self-centered asshole with deficiency and humility, one of the things that I was good at is following tasks, right? You need to be here at 6:30. I don't care if I had vodka pouring out of my eyeballs. I was not going to be late. Because this is how I determined if I had a problem, right? I drink too much. I do wake up drunk, but I'm showing up for work, so it can't be that bad, right? More fake news. But it was that, you know, rigmarole of doing that shit every day. So when I got punched in the face and you know, I ended up in the hospital, you know, and that nurse, and this is funny too, I was at a meeting and a guy shared that he goes, I got sober because the nurse that's here, and sort of outed her a little bit, but not my name, just sort of, you know, and I think she was cool. We're all cool with it, but she helped him get sober, right? She was a nurse at the hospital that, you know, continuing to do that 12-step work as a sober nurse. She said, hey, do you think you have a problem? I don't know the exact story, but she was, you know, always willing to try to help another alcoholic. And, you know, and I, one more time, right? Check into that freaking hotel, up into that fifth floor. I'm going to hide out here, get the heat off me. But, you know, the cool thing was AA came up and got me. And, but I had been sentenced. You know, this was that escape route. This was a self-based decision, not a humble-based decision. This is a, my lower power decision. Let's go there. We'll hide. We don't have to explain what happened. We don't have to look like a drunk, alcoholic asshole that we are. You know, this was all self-centered shit. These are all self-centered decisions. You know, I didn't say, wow, here we go again. Man, this could be a great opportunity to finally get sober. Didn't think like that, right? Didn't think. But AA came and got me, and I, and you know, that would start my journey. And then drinking after 5 years. And that was the real shift in my life, that drinking after 5 years, right? Because that's when I realized that this is a gift and that I get to. Everything up until this point was I had to. And so last night, back, you know, back to my meeting, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And what happens? We are starting the 12 steps over again. And it was awesome, right? Sat down. You know, one of the great things about meetings and for me and getting sober is everybody, you know, that's working towards the same goal. You know, last time I sat and listened to someone do the first step, somebody different sat up front, right, and shared their experience, strength, and hope. Last night, another guy sat up front and shared his experience, strength, and hope with the first step. And I was like, you know, I love this. And how can I not talk about it? And the fact is, we're going to go through the steps again, or I'm going to go through the steps again, and I'm going to figure out what I can learn more from this. One of the things that I thought was really interesting that I didn't really recognize or pay attention to is that, you know, in the first step of the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, you would think that it would say something like, you can't drink anymore, right? It doesn't say that. The first step of this program does not say that you have to stop drinking. It doesn't say it. You know, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. You know, for a self-centered person, like I've shared before, all I read was alcoholic, my poor life, right? Those are the words that I picked up on and off to the second step that I went. But this is really, and I've learned this over time, and I shared it last night, this is really, for me, the introduction to humility. And I've said before, I'm a self-centered asshole with a deficiency in humility. I think a lot of people are. I'm not going to worry about you. I can only worry about myself. But, you know, when you get $100,000 worth of debt, you're a self-centered asshole with a deficiency in humility, right? Just because you're not drinking, you know, these folks weren't, I don't know, maybe some of that was on wine. I don't know. But these folks clearly had an issue with money, right? I've said before, we admitted we were powerless over self, that our lives have become unmanageable. Those folks could join that program. Right? But we are what we are, and that is alcoholic. So it says we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives have become unmanageable. And all I heard was that, alcohol and my life, right? And my life was shit, and it was because of alcohol. But, you know, if you break it down a little bit, it doesn't say I admitted I was powerless over alcohol. It says we, right? Because it takes us. It takes a group. It takes tons of different soldiers, right? You got your front line. You've got, you know, and work your way back. You've got the newcomer. You've got the guy that's been there for 50 years, right? We all play a different type of role. It takes this team to get this fucking disease off our back, right? And so it says, we admitted, first humble thing I'd probably done, admit, surrender, give up, you know, throw in the towel, humility, that's it. Because what motivates the opposite of that, right? Self, you know? I'm not admitting this. This is the alcohol's fault. This is everybody else's fault. I'm not admitting that I actually played a role in the getting me to where I am today, right? I can't do that. But this program and this first step is the introduction to that. We admitted we were powerless over alcohol. Am I? You know, this is when I'm like, am I powerless? What does that even mean? Because I'm clearly free, right? I'm not locked in a room with alcohol, right? I'm But the fact is that I made tons of decisions every day about drinking and drugging over the correct decisions that I should have been making in the first place. I was choosing this lifestyle, this addiction, over everything else. I was powerless because, stepping back, you know, years later, I look and I go, how could I have done that? How did I even get to that point, right? That's what was going on. We admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives have become unmanageable. And for a self-centered guy, life unmanageable means, yeah, they're right. You know, I did run over my uncle's well. I crashed my car. I got in a fight. I mean, the list goes on and on and on of things that have happened to me that I sort of put under the umbrella of as my life's unmanageable. Not the case. I've said this before. We admit we're powerless over alcohol, that our lives have become unmanageable to everybody else. And the unmanageability in my life was trying to manage the people that my life had become unmanageable to. Right? I said this before. I probably could have kept drinking. I remember going into the hospital and they're like, we're going to have to test your liver, right? We're going to have to do a scan and run a gamut of tests to find out where you are. And I remember she said, your liver came back good. I was like, okay. I probably could have kept drinking, right? I probably could have kept going, right? But managing the people that my life had become unmanageable to had become too much, right? And that means disappointing my parents, disappointing my coworkers, disappointing my employer, right? Disappointing all the people around me. You know, my uncle. Who had to fix that well I broke? My uncle. Who had to pay for it? My uncle. He didn't charge me. He could have. Well, he knew better. He's like, he ain't got no money, right? You know, but my life, my behavior, my drinking had become unmanageable to everybody else, right? And then them complaining to me, that became unmanageable. You know, I didn't look at it as like, look at what this fucking alcohol has gotten me to, right? I just looked at all the unhappy people around me, right? And so, you know, this... And as a person that came in that was sentenced, right? And I literally wasn't, but it's sort of the path I had to go. If I was going to check into this hospital, I was going to be going to meetings. I was going to have to work a recovery program. I'd been sentenced, right? That's how self-centered people feel it. That's how I felt it. I was sentenced. So I didn't want to look at it that way. I didn't want to look at it with a humble light. I wanted to look at it as a self-centered person and as a victim of alcoholism. And drinking after 5 years, I came back into this program and I realized this is a gift. This is such a gift and I'm so grateful for it. And, you know, the first step is just the beginning. But, you know, and I've, you know, if you're new, if you're coming into this program and you're doing the first step, just go with it, right? Get that temporary sponsor, get a sponsor and just go with it. Don't drink, go to meetings, keep coming back, right? Just go to meetings and keep coming back. Don't worry about it. You know, don't pay attention to this. Just go to meetings and keep coming back. And more should be revealed. You know, that's the beauty of it. More should be revealed. If you want, I'm going to go through the steps again. First step, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives have become unmanageable. You know, doesn't tell you to not drink, right? This isn't about drinking. I mean, the drinking has gotten us into some shit. But this isn't about drinking, because I tell you, the first day you come into a program, the first thing that goes away is the drinking. And, you know, hang in there. I'm going to hang in there. I'm super grateful today that I got this program and that I get to go through it today again. And like I said, I was like in shock because I'm reading this first step last night and never tells you to stop drinking. Never tells you that, which I thought, I mean, makes sense because... You know, what is that going to do? You know, work on the other shit and drinking hopefully isn't an option, right? Build that foundation. Find that person that you are. You know, identify the self-centered side of us or me. That's what I had to do. I remember when I found out I was self-centered. I was like, what? That's crazy. All right. Entering a new dimension, April 25th. In the late stages of our drinking, the will to resist has fled. Yet when we admit complete defeat and when we become entirely ready to try AA's principles, our obsession leaves us and we enter a new dimension. Freedom under God as we understand him. Nice. That says Bill Sees It 283. I am fortunate to be among the ones who have had this awesome transformation in my life. When I entered the doors of AA alone and desperate, I had been beaten into willingness to believe anything I heard. One of the things I heard was, this could be your last hangover, or you can keep going round and round. The man who said this obviously was a whole lot better off than I. I liked the idea of admitting defeat, and I have been free ever since. My heart heard what my mind never could. Being powerless over alcohol is no big deal. I'm free, and I'm grateful. Absolutely. Yeah, man. If you're new to the program, just keep coming, right? Keep on coming. Go to the meetings, 90 and 90. Just, you know, dive in and just let it get on you, right? And then eventually, you know, start trying to figure some of this stuff out. It is a, I highly recommend it. I highly recommend sobriety. If you were sad, and you know, the other thing is that if you don't drink for some reason and you listen to this podcast, you know, replace the word alcohol with self. Because I don't care. We all have a self-centered side to us that could probably be addressed. Have a great day. Later.